Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout, would you? Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we're going to start at the 7th verse. You know, I'm hot. I'm going to take this off. Is that all right? Anybody hot but me? I've been praising. I get hot. Amen. Thank you, sir. And I might roll up my sleeves. Amen. Amen. You guys have been missing it on Wednesday nights. I've been preaching for the last couple weeks, and it's been good. And I want to encourage you to come. I want you to come and be a part of that. You get a good word on Wednesday night, and we'll pray a little bit. We haven't done much praying, but we definitely got some word. We'll get both together soon. Amen. And I want to encourage you, come to the prayer meetings. Get involved in the prayer meetings. Also, just as an announcement, we'll be doing our official grand opening of the building in Sumter on May the 21st. Somebody say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Are you there? Jesus has died on the cross and is resurrected. What's next? A lot of the church ends there. They just end at Jesus died and he resurrected. And then you have an option there to get saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I see a lot of things, and I see a lot of braggadocious things, and there's always been this. Our formula for salvation is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. That is the formula for salvation. However, it says this, if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be saved if he believes in his heart. Now, I don't know ever. I don't care if it's 600 people or 6,000 people or six people or one. I don't know the depth that God knows. I can't see like God can see. And so when somebody comes and they follow the formula and we invite them to come and get saved and they walk up here and they confess with their mouth, I believe they believed with their heart. Does that make sense? I believe that. That's my definition. So I qualify them as saved. 6,160. Saved. 6,000. Saved. But I want to make sure that we understand as the church that sometimes we've gone around convincing people of something they've not actually been convicted of. I'm telling you, that's the real truth. There are a lot of people run to the aisle because we had a good play, but it doesn't mean we had a definite change. Somebody say amen. I want to make sure, because there's some things I want to talk about today that I believe that'll help us. I think that God wants to help us. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance today. And I was talking to the Sumter Church about what happened last week about, you know, that, you know, the guy was laying in the street. His stuff was all over the ground. His walker was away from him, and he was needing help. And I just watched dozens of people drive by him on their way to church, all them Holy Ghost folk, and not one of them stopped to help him out of the street. The Bible says pure religion undefiled before is this, that men would love the widows and take care of the poor. When you see somebody in need, listen, I love Brother Sammy, but if he's driving over here and he's got to play the piano, and he texts me and writes me. Now, we ought to have some sense about us and don't show up. But text us and writes us because, look, man's in the street. I'm going to help him get out of the street. Then we'll go without the piano. Because the church is about help. Jesus had compassion on people. He came because of the compassion in him. He was compassionate toward the human being. He was compassionate about relationship and restoration. And here we are as Christians, and we want to keep going to sing on the platform, play the instruments, do the nurseries, or just sit in the pew, and we don't even care about the people in the street? Come on, somebody, we better change our attitude. That's not what the Holy Ghost came to do. If you sitting in the pew is all about you, and you think, well, I'm just this, and I can't this, and I'm not getting this, then it's because you ain't doing this, you ain't doing that, and you ain't doing the other. Nobody got that. My heart is where my treasure is. And when we connect with our treasures, our time and our talent, our resources, our abilities and our finances, when we connect, we become connected to it. We become engaged in it. And that's where our heart will be. Our heart's connected to where we've placed our treasure. It's where we put ourselves and where we've decided, I'm settled, I'm defined, this is it. This is the direction till God tells me different. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to engage in it. I'm going to engage in what God called me to do. I'm going to engage in where I am. I'm going to connect. And this is the thing. I see the church, and I want to say this to my church. If I raise up a church that can't help nobody on the side of the road, I'm messed up. If all we do is run around, jump, shout, hoop, and holler, scream and yell, fall on our face, but we don't reach out to nobody, don't tell nobody about Jesus, don't ask nobody to get saved, hadn't prayed with nobody about salvation, hadn't done nothing in the kingdom except gotten blessed ourselves. But see, if I asked you the question, you say, well, I just don't know if I'm getting fed. Who you feeding? Who'd you win to Jesus this year? Who'd you bring to church? I mean, exactly who did you pray with this year? Now, I don't mean to get mean and nasty. Because somebody said, he's up in my business now. Yes, I am. Because I've been at this a while. I've seen it. All you want is who's going to bless you, who's going to touch you, who's going to fit you, what music's going to fit you, how's it going to fit. Listen, folks, it's not about you. This is the powerhouse. This is supposed to be the place that you come and give yourself over and say, I'm going to bond with the in unity with my fellow believers, and we are going to go out and win the lost. God, you'll use me to do that job. He called you to be a minister, not to be ministered to all the time. Look at your neighbor. Just look at your husband, your wife, your neighbor. Look at somebody and tell them, God called you to minister. I'm preaching real good now. I'm preaching real good now because I've been at this a long time. I've been at this a while. When we start giving, when we start unloading. See, I always say this, and I'm going to say it again. God don't mind you having things. He minds things having you. I want you to say this with me. God doesn't mind me having things, but he minds things having me. So we're going to the cross, and some folks get settled only at the cross. That's it. That's the end. But that wasn't the end. It was days later that we're going to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see it in Acts chapter 2 where he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and he does it so that you could have power to be witnesses. You're not just supposed to be somebody who got witnessed to, but once you get the cross, he wants to make you a witness. You become the witness. You become the exchange. You become the place where God exchanges himself to the world. You become the one blessed to be a blessing. Somebody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And when we start going forward to Acts chapter 2 in the day of Pentecost, because we're going to celebrate on Pentecost Sunday, we're going to come in here and shout and sing and dance and do all those things. We're going to thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I want you to say that right now. I thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention today. Pay attention today because I'm setting it up. And in this chapter, it says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. As long as Jesus was on the earth, the resident power of God was there with him. As long as the tabernacle was on the earth, the resident power of God was excluded inside of the Holy of Holies for them. Jesus came and he was outside of that. He was the Holy of Holies, so he was no longer behind the cloud. As a matter of fact, the cloud was torn when he died. It was trying to show us that the resurrected Christ was for everyone, obviously. But to get it to everybody, he had to go. He had to leave. He couldn't stay. He had to go because he wanted to live in all of us. He wanted to live in all of our hearts. He wanted to work inside all of us. He wanted to do things in all of us. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit's your helper. Whatever you need, the Holy Spirit's your helper. Whatever you're missing, the Holy Spirit's your helper. Whatever's missing in your life, the Holy Spirit is your helper. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God it was not resident in Jesus. It can now, Jesus is resident in me. It's the Holy Ghost. I will send him to you. He said, I've got to go away that the Comforter will come. The word Comforter there is describing to us a Jesus that's the same. In other words, I'm going to send one just, the words are actually this, I'm going to send one just like myself or myself. So Jesus is saying, I've got to go so you can have me in you. All of me in you. Somebody say, I got all Jesus when I'm saved. Say that again. I got all Jesus when I'm saved. That's the Holy Spirit living in you. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. The Holy Spirit's abode is within you. The Holy Spirit resides within you. That's all of Jesus. Everything I need is resident on the inside of me when I accepted Christ. Some of you might have accepted him when you were 5. You certainly have made mistakes or whatever, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Thank God we can ask for forgiveness, and he washes us clean. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and so he's dealing with you, and he's working with you, and trying to help your life. Somebody say amen, and then say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. And say, thank God I've got the Holy Ghost. If you've accepted Christ, you've got the Holy Ghost. I didn't say you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just said the Holy Ghost resides in you. I believe he wants to come out of you. How many know he wants to come out? How many know he wants to show himself? Hallelujah. And so he lives in you. That's Jesus. Jesus living inside of you, the Holy Ghost. Now listen to what he came to do so we can understand this. The Bible says the Comforter will not come except if I depart. I'll send him to you, and when he's come, he'll reprove you of sin. Now, pastors don't reprove people of sin. Other people don't reprove people of sin. Prophecy is a very unique thing. Some people don't understand. It's a gift of the Spirit. There are a lot of people that prophesy in parking lots, have discerning of spirits in parking lots and all that stuff. I don't want to beat nobody down. I'm not talking about what you consider to be your gift, but it's not your gift. It's the Holy Spirit's gift. All right, I know that hurts your feelings, but it don't belong to you. He does as he wills. Somebody say, he does as he wills. Amen. And he gave us some authority over how that happens and things like that. And so he said, I won't go into all that. But what I'm saying is this, is that if somebody tries to instruct you how to live and tell you how to live, and it's not something the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about, because the Lord will not speak to you without being a confirmation. God will speak to you first, and then he will confirm. God will speak to you first, and then he will confirm. I often ask, did you get that? And they'll say, well, Bobby told me. And I'll say, did you get that? No, Bobby told me. Well, if Bobby told you, I don't care. But if God told you and Bobby told you that God told you and said, well, I think God's speaking to you, I can listen to that. I had a lady would come to me. You don't understand. I had a lady come to me. She had a tape from like 1970 something. She brought me this tape. Listen, I'm telling you, she said God spoke to her. This is what she was going to do. And she put the tape in the tape player and she wanted me to hear what God was going to use her to do. Click. Monday. You couldn't even understand the tape. It was warped from the sun or something. Does anybody know what I'm talking? You ever heard one of them days? Monday. When she got done with it, she said, "Did you hear that? That's what God's going to do with me." First of all, I didn't understand anything that tape said, and that's only relative to you. And I asked her, "Did you get that?" She said, "I heard it on the tape. It was the prophecy from the person that said something. She dead gone to be with the Lord, and she still ain't done nothing. Because it wasn't a word from the Lord. If you're going to be convicted of sin, I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit's going to come and speak to you. He's going to talk to you in the car. He's going to deal with you in your house. He's going to deal with you with his word, which is all founded on his word. He's going to bring back to you his word. He's going to speak to you. And you need the Holy Ghost to talk to you, not your wife. Not your husband. But if you are a husband or a wife, you can pray that the Holy Ghost will talk to your husband or the Holy Ghost will talk to your wife. And then God, will you send laborers to confirm what God already said? But the Holy Spirit came to convict us of sin. We need to listen when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He convicts us. He does not condemn us. He loves us and he convicts us. Somebody say, thank God he convicts me. He loves you enough to convict you. He loves you enough to speak to you. He loves you enough to talk to you. And he keeps talking and he keeps talking. I know there's a moment when somebody can reject him and he'll stop talking. You know, there are times that God has used me to speak to people's lives. And I've talked to them and talked to them. And I heard the Lord in my spirit. And he said, stop talking. I want you to know something. The worst place you can be at is when God talks to a man of God and says, don't talk no more. You know what that means? He's not talking. No, you didn't get it. Because the only reason I'd be talking is if God was talking. And if God ain't talking to you, he don't want me talking to you. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about listening to God. Don't reject him to the point that you've rejected him beyond where you can walk in that forgiveness. And I'm saying you can get to a point where you don't hear God anymore. You resist him and you stop listening. Oh, I'm preaching real good now. See, the Holy Spirit came to convict us of sin. But we can wash our hearts so much so and continue to act in the way God's speaking to us, objectively, offensively against him, and we can't hear him anymore. We stop hearing it. We reject it. Then he goes on and says this. He says he came to convict you of sin. See, I know today the church is so, I said this, reason I want to say this is because the church is so filled with, we just got to get them in the pews. The more likes on Facebook I get and the more personal objectification I can have and the more people can like me and the more people I can have as friends and all that stuff is what we're searching for. But I want you to know something. That's not what we're searching for. Where any two of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. What we need is Jesus, not people. People need Jesus. I want the pews to be filled with people who want Jesus, not just filled with people. I want to reach people, not just seats. I'm not interested. Listen, there are 1,000 things. I could put a car outside. I could put a brand new Corvette. Sit out front, give it away. Tell all of Florence, we're giving away a Corvette this morning. How many of you think we could fill it up if we gave away $100,000 this morning? We're going to give away $100,000 at Family Worship Center this morning. We're going to draw it out for a raffle and somebody going to win $100,000. You know how many people play the lottery? How many people you think would show up for $100,000? Let's not get so excited about the guy that's got $40,000. Let's get excited if the people that are there are being transformed and changed. Because God comes to convict of sin. If we don't preach on sin anymore, and all we preach is you can live any way you want to, do anything you want to, be anything you want to be, act any way you want, and it ain't gonna matter. No! The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome what does not look like Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to make me look like Jesus. He empowers me to be able to come to the point that I'm like Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, the Holy Spirit wants to make me like Jesus. It don't happen overnight. The next part of it says, is the scripture. I put the scripture up there so I can just use the screen. He came to convict us of sin and of righteousness. Look at this. Go to righteousness. And when we come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Now, righteousness is the right standing with God. It's talking about holiness is the word that means right standing or ability to be used by. It's not talking about that you wear a certain dress, put your hair a certain way. It's talking about, is your heart pure? Can God use you? Are you hungry for him? Are you a person that makes mistakes but gets back up? Come on, who's made a mistake in the room? I'll raise my hand. Who hadn't been exactly what God called them to be every day? Don't say that. When you're at the red light and you cussed out the guy across that cut you off, you weren't like Jesus. I had a problem with anger. When I started in the ministry, I had a real problem with verbal abuse. I had a real problem with this. It's the way I grew up. It's the way my house was. Our house was dysfunctional. My mom and dad were pastors, screaming at each other, yelling at each other. I came home one day and the ambulance was in the driveway. My mom and dad had gotten yelling about something, and my mom hit my dad in the head with one of those rented vacuum cleaners, knocked him out on the floor. They're the pastor of the church. When I get home, he's laying on the floor flopping. The ambulance is trying to revive my dad. Pastors of the church. I grew up like that. This is how I grew up. It looked normal to me. I know that makes no sense to nobody else but me, but it looked like that's how life was. I just thought that's what everybody did. You yell and scream at each other, holler and yell, and you just throw stuff, and then you run out and go to Applebee's. I get married. I ain't had no counsel. I've not had any counseling on this. I get married, and I've translated this into my house. I'm thinking my wife and I are just having a good discussion. I'm screaming and hollering, yelling, blah, 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 slamming cabinets. She's throwing stuff at me. I run outside, jump on the hood of the car. I just think we're having a discussion. I'm ready to go to Applebee's. This is true. I'm not making it up. I'm telling y'all the truth. And I came in here and I was like that as a boss. I was like that as a husband. One day I'm at home. And because you know, when you get saved, God begins to deal with pieces of your life. And he begins to transition you. And as you go further, there's even more to transition. I love it because he loves me enough to correct me. That's what you got to understand. God loves you enough. See, I love my kids enough that if I know they're going to kill themselves on the highway, I'm going to correct them. If I know that something's going to take their life or something's going to damage them permanently, I want to correct them. God wants to correct me. He wants to keep me out of a future mess. Somebody say amen. Some of you have made it through a mess, and you ought to thank God you did. Some of you, your kids, made it through a mess. And man, you ought to thank God they made it through that mess. It could have been worse than it was. It could have been a great big mess. They didn't even know or understand, but God watched over them because reproves the world. In other words, we have to enforce the righteousness of God in us. God wants us to enforce it. It's not enough to just know the word. It's about doing the word. Look at somebody and say, you got to do it. Come on, somebody say, you got to do it. He wants to help us. And God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. When I grew up, I didn't understand that. I really thought God was whipping up on me all the time. I was real confused because I grew up in religious homes. Now, let me tell you, I was one of the guys that went home and tried to prove the preacher wrong. You understand? Like he was preaching faith and talking about God is good all the time. And I'm thinking, well, you don't know. And you don't know. And let me tell you what the Bible says, but you don't know. And so I would go home and try and prove him wrong. And you know what I did? I proved him right. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I want you to know something. God is your friend. He is for you. He wants the best for you. He wants to help you. Now, the Bible says that some seed fell by the wayside. Some fell on this. There were different kinds of grounds. But the thing that it says is this, that he tried to steal the word. That the objective of the devil was to steal the word that God gave you. Now, I know God's good all the time, and every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He was good yesterday. He's good today. He'll be good tomorrow. He doesn't tear me down. He don't beat me down. He don't hurt me. He's not putting sickness in my body. He's not destroying my washing machine, tearing up my car, or ruining my kid's life. No, no, no. The Lord is good all the time. And all the time, God, we like to focus on the negative because it makes us feel better about what. Okay, so I'm with my wife, and she says, let's go to Tractor Supply. she says, I got to go get some bit of honeys for my object lesson in the morning. I'm like, okay, let's go. So we jumped in the car. We drive over to Darlington. And then we go, and she gets these bit of honeys. Now, I don't need a bit of honey. Got too much sugar. I shouldn't eat them, but I really like them. Doesn't even know what I'm talking about. I really like them. I like a bit of honey. I put one in my mouth. She says, you don't need to eat that bit of honey. And I'm in rebellion now. Not really. I'm just trying to express to you how I'm feeling. Like, I'm going to eat the bit of honey. You ain't going to tell me not to. Y'all ever feel like that? Who do you think you are? Look at all the holy folks. Everybody, all y'all holy people in here. Oh, no. I know you. So I put the bit of honey in my mouth. Started chewing the bit of honey. She says to me, you shouldn't eat that bit of honey. And I'm going to eat it anyway. All of a sudden, a cap from one of my teeth pops off. Boosh! I'm like, the cap just fell off my tooth. You know what I heard? You shouldn't eat that bit of honey. So I take the cap out. I've now got to take it home because it's got a bit of honey on it. I got to brush it. It's in the sink. It's all full. Nothing wrong with it. I'm bragging. I'm like talking about, man, this is great. My tooth is great. Is it going to be able to put this thing back in? Nothing wrong with this crown. It's going to cost me nothing. My son comes in with the phone. Dad, look at this. I start looking at it and drop the crown on the floor. When it hit the floor, it split in half. Now, first of all, God didn't make me eat the bit of honey. I ate the bit of honey. God didn't pull my tooth out. I ate the bit of honey. I can't blame God. Can't even blame the devil for that. I want to help you. Because we blame God or the devil, or we just this, that, and that. I did that. And my wife, like the Holy Ghost, tried to help me. Don't eat the bit of honey. Don't do it. Don't eat the bit of honey. You don't know the results of the bit of honey. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? So I pull out the crown, and all I can think is, well, the Lord's good all the time. And look at this. Look how good God is. This is going to be cheap. I'm bragging about God. God, I'm telling my, woo! Till I break the crown, and now I'm like, oh, man. Now they're going to make a new crown. Blah, 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 blah. Now here's what I want to say about that. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. I want you to know something. I was bragging on God how God was going to take care of my bit of honey, how God was going to take care of my broken tooth. But the devil was smart enough to come, make me distracted. I dropped it, and the tooth broke. Because he wanted to see, did you actually believe? You're not getting it. How about now? That's what happened. How about now? How about now that the crown is broken? How about now? How do you feel now, Steve? Is he still going to be able to provide it? Is it still going to be cheap? Is he still going to be able to put it on? Are you still going to? What are you going to do now? How many know the devil comes and does it like, what are you going to do now? I'm going to pull all this together so it'll make sense to you. I got up and thanked the Lord for it and have decided that because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and God didn't break my crown, nor did he make it come out of my mouth, that God had no intentions, that God still wants to bless me, and he will provide all. Amen. Nobody's shouting now. My God shall supply all my need. Even though the devil came and broke the crown, I still believe that God is so good that he will make up for what I did, and he will fix the problem that I had, because the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. I want you to know, so I still trust him right now, just like I did before I lost the crown and just like I did before I broke the crown. He didn't change, just the crown changed. The answer didn't change, just the crown changed. How many know God is for you? And if God is for you, it does not matter who's against you. Why don't you stop being so depressed? Hallelujah. Why don't you stop being so discouraged? End of judgment. He came and sent the Holy Ghost because he wants to help us overcome sin. I've got a helper. I've got a helper. Listen, I've got a helper to help me overcome. I've got somebody who can help me win the battle. I've got somebody, if I will listen and I will obey, I will overcome because I've got a helper to help me overcome. Tell me, I want you to tell me what you are dealing with right now, what challenge you're facing right now, what issue is against your life that you don't have help from the Holy Ghost. The helper has come. He sent us the help of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Glory, glory, glory.
You have help.
That's right. Amen.
You have help to win.
Yes.
Help to overcome.
Yes.
You have to be willing to listen to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He said, of righteousness because of my Father, you'll see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of the world judges. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you and lead you into all truth. That is not a word only related to spiritual truth. That word is for all truth. All truth. All truth. All direction. All truth. That God wants to help you with all truth about your job, with all truth about your career, with all truth about your relationships, with all truth about your marriage, with all truth about your kids, with all truth about your money. No, nobody shouted about that. I want you to know something. Listen to me. The formula for rich is not money. I'm going to say it again. Maybe this side will get it. The formula for rich is not money. The formula for rich is not money. Money is only a tool. It is the blessings of the Lord. It is the blessings of the Lord that makes one rich. And when he does, he adds no sorrow. The question is, I need the blessings, not money. Oh, wait a minute. I know you think you need money. You need blessings. And when God blesses you, the money becomes non-important. I don't know how God's going to supply me with this tooth. I'm certain I'm going to have to go to a dentist and he's going to have to put it in because I can't do that myself. But I am absolutely certain that God will provide every need in my life. I got a need. And it is the blessings of the Lord that make me rich and add no sorrow thereto. I have yet many things to speak. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll give you all truth. I want you to know something. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you're missing information, it's because you haven't relied on the Holy Ghost. I'm not getting enough shouting on that. I'm just really not getting enough. I mean, maybe you want somebody to prophesy on you. Maybe you want somebody to come speak over you. Maybe you want somebody to run up and give you a word and give you a word of wisdom. Or you know what you need? To get down on your face. To get in the presence of the Lord and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You'll do a whole lot less sinning if you just listen to the Holy Ghost. I'll be done in a minute. Y'all need what I got to say? Y'all need what I got to say? You need what I got to say. It took the Holy Spirit for me to overcome my anger. It took a revelation of God. It took a revelation. I'd had a preacher look me in the face and say, "You have a violent." I mean, really. And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." You know how we do. I listened to it, nodded. Walked out the door and thought, shut up. Not really, I mean, but I just ignored it. I just didn't listen to it. Just didn't make any change. But the Holy Spirit had been talking to me. People had been talking. One day, I'm screaming and hollering at my wife. I can't take it. I can't take this anymore. I can't take this. I can't take this. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? Can't take what? It's truth. I'm telling you the truth because I can't see it. I couldn't see it. It hadn't become a revelation to me. I hadn't had the revelation of God to understand. It was just people talking, and I knew I was yelling, and yeah, that sounds bad. But one day, I'm screaming at her. She's done. She's ready to leave. I can't take this. I can't stay in this house anymore. I'm done. And I'm like, you know, I don't understand. Because see, with her family, when they got mad at each other, they just went and bought each other's gifts and left them at the door. So when you open up the door, there'd be like this gift at the door with a bow on it, and you'd open up, oh, look, we're forgiven. For me, we're still yelling, and when we're done yelling, we're going to eat. She's leaving the gift, and I'm thinking, well, that's stupid. I'm preaching so good, because some of y'all are going through this in your house, you're going through this, and you don't understand. You haven't heard. You haven't actually heard the Holy Spirit tell you where you're going and what you're doing and the way you're acting. And you thought he only cared about you smoking, but he cares about your anger management. And he starts dealing. You drop the cigarettes, and all of a sudden it's about, did you yell at them, scream at them, holler at them? Are you cheating on your taxes? People's heads dropped right there. I'm not walking down the aisle now. He sees it. He sees it. I thank God that he forgave me all along the way. Years went by. And God loves me so much that years he would deal with me. Years he would talk to me. Years he would speak. Years I'd sense the conviction. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you're in this room, you just thank God he's still talking. Just thank God he's still talking. Just thank God he's still speaking. Oh, hallelujah. In that while I was a sinner, he died for me. Oh, man. That's what's living in you. One day I'm standing on this, you know, I'm screaming at my wife, and I look over in the corner of my dog. Howie is in the corner, my little dog. He ain't understood a word I said. He don't know nothing about what we're arguing. He don't know nothing about the argument. He don't know nothing. Nothing. And he's shaking in the corner. And the Lord said, that's what you're doing to people's spirits. Because that's all that dog was a spirit. It knew the spirit of what I had done was wrong. From that moment until this, I've made an adjustment and changed. Oh, I'm not perfect yet. Occasionally, my kids can drive me over the edge. And I repent and ask God to forgive me, and I'm getting back on the horse, and I'm going for it. I'm going to win this battle. Come on, because God's dealing with me. I'm listening. I'm hearing what he has to say. But from that day to this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I heard the Holy Spirit, listen, God's speaking to you about things in your life that he wants to correct, and he wants you to enforce the righteousness of God in you. Now, let me say this to you. I have a friend. And the friend came to me. This is years ago. This isn't today. You wouldn't know who the friend is. And so he came to me. He said, Pastor Steve, my friend owns a, what do you call a place where prostitutes work out of? A brothel. What's another word? Prostitution house, whatever it was. So this, his best friend owned a prostitution house. And they were selling the prostitutes out of this house. And he said, my friend got something he had to do, and he had to be out of the business for a couple weeks. And so he asked me, would I help him? And this is a born-again Christian friend of mine. Would I help him run the show while he's gone? Because he really needed my help. And he didn't need it to go down while he was gone, because that's how he makes his money. And so I said, yes, sir, I'll help you. So for a couple weeks, I helped him run the brothel. And I think the Lord wanted me to help him. Well, I got news for you. No. No. No, the Holy Ghost would not lead you to run a brothel. God's not about selling women into prostitution. He delivers people from prostitution. The one prostitute we see, he delivered her from prostitution. Come on. But this guy thought he was right. He wasn't enforcing the righteousness of God. He wasn't enforcing the justice of God. Now, all of us can immediately see that this is the wrong approach. No, no, we can't sell women into prostitution and call that God. Is there anybody that thinks that's God? Because I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to have an altar call immediately. No, we're not doing those kinds of things. We don't live like that. I got another friend. He's a friend of mine. And this guy, I love the guy. I love him. I've actually had him do things here at the church y'all don't know about years gone by. Over the years, he'd do things for us here at the church. And when he started with me, I didn't know everything. But as I got to know him a little bit more, I found out he owned a strip club. He also is one of the largest promoters of gospel music in the nation. I mean, everybody, he's on their website. And they're bragging about, man, he's a great guy. Man, what a wonderful guy he is. Man, he loves the gospel ministry and blah, 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 blah. He's so good at it, it'd blow your mind. Now, this guy is living in mansions, driving beautiful cars. And over the years, I'd come to him, I'd say, listen, man, I'm not going to be able to keep using you at the church if you don't make some decisions. Yes. Yes, Pastor Steve. I need to change my ways. The Holy Spirit's been dealing with me. I need to make a correction. As a matter of fact, this guy had had a terrible car accident to the point he almost died. He survived the car accident. After the car accident, I went to him. I said, listen, you need to get out of the stripper business. I don't care how many people you hang around that are gospel. I don't care how many friends you've gotten, how much you mix in the church. The Bible says you can't have one foot in. And the Holy Spirit will deal with us. Now, some people are ignorant. They never heard it. They never heard anybody preach this to them. And so now that I preach it, you're going to be obligated to what I'm preaching. You better run out before I finish. Because I'm not talking about what you're doing. I'm talking about what God wants to do for you. What God wants to do through you. What God wants to do in you. I need to get out. I need to get out. I need to get out. He never got out. I can't use him at the church. And now he just lives in big houses and drives nice cars. But the Holy Spirit, I'm certain. See, he'd be Christian here. Selling stripping over here. Now, I'm just going to ask. I mean, really, I'm just going to ask. I want the truth. How many of you believe that God would want you to be a Christian over here and stripping over here? Raise your hand if you think that selling strippers is okay. Nobody in the church. No one? Don't raise your hand because I'm going to come find you. That's easy, isn't it? Isn't it easy right there? That's really easy. You say, no, man, God wouldn't want me selling strippers. But how about living with a girl you ain't married to? Oh, wait a minute. We know it's wrong with strippers. How about sleeping with somebody else's wife? How about smoking crack on Friday? Oh, wait a minute. Don't you think the Holy Spirit's dealing with that too? And you know something? God wants to forgive all of us and he wants us all to walk in that love. There's a reason why he's dealing with you about decisions. There's a reason why he's talking to you about making things right. There's a reason why. Let's find out why. Let me finish. Are y'all enjoying this? Because this is, man, wow. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not condemning one person in this room that's living in error in their life right now. I'm not condemning you. I'm not here to tell you, you're going to hell. It's not what I'm saying. You could. You could. It could be. It might end up that way. If I gave you a pill today that could either be acid or an aspirin, and you didn't know which, or it could be something that would kill you, fentanyl. It's either fentanyl or an aspirin. You didn't know which. And I came up to you and tried to hand you that pill. Would you take it?
No.
You wouldn't take it? I mean, it could be aspirin. Could mean absolutely nothing. It also could mean death. Would you take it? Nope. And yet every day the Lord's saying to you, it could be an aspirin, or it could be fentanyl. And we risk it every day. Well, maybe I'm okay. Maybe I'm all right. Maybe it's okay. Maybe I'll be okay. Man, I'm preaching so good. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away because of the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. There's an abiding in God. There's a fullness in God. There's a fullness of God. I have come to love God so much that I don't want the world in me. I've come to love God so much that it means more to me than anything I could own, anything I could possess, anything I could live in, anything I could drive, anything I could walk. I don't care what it is. I've come to love God so much. That's what he says. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And him only shall you serve. You know something? The Holy Spirit's dealing with us to correct some things in our life. And he loves us that much to do it. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a Holy Ghost that's dealing with us and loving us and helping us and aside with us and walking with us and talking with us. Every day it's the goodness of God. He's keeping you safe and he's watching over you. He's attending to you. He's protecting you. He has everything met, all the needs supplied. And he does it because he loves you so much that you would serve him and serve him only. There are three classes of things in this world. Number one, the lust of the flesh. We all know what that is. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. That's what happens. We have lust that we haven't dealt with. It's flesh. We let our eyes stare at more than feet. If you're on the beach and everything is out there in a bikini, as you pass by, never go back. I know that ain't going to happen, but it should. Lust of the eyes. Lust for women. This is the lust of the eyes. Lust for women. Eyes full of adultery. Men with men and women with women. This is the word now. It's covetousness. It's all things desired. Idolatry. All kinds of evil. Then there's the pride of life, which is self-righteousness, positions, power, riches, beauty, strength to war, constant boasting of oneself, glorying in sexual activity, pleasures, and all the vanity of life. I've noticed that the internet is flooded with things to make you lust. And you're spending hours and hours and the Holy Ghost is saying, you need to flush and get out of here. I'm sorry. This is really funny. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. This is the first New Testament prophecy in John 1. The first one. The world systems pass away, but the man who does not conform to it abides forever. We're not to conform to it. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm saying I've come pretty close to lust to the point that I did something about it, but I thank God I never did. I almost sinned, but I didn't. I almost sinned, but I didn't. How many of you can thank God you almost sinned, but you didn't? Come on, somebody. I almost sinned, but I didn't. Because of the help of the Holy Spirit, I've got a helper. The world systems pass away, but the man who doesn't conform to them abides forever. The Greek word is this. It translates pass away or pass by. It passes forth, it departs. Not the same as the another Greek word. Neither word means annihilation, but change. Pressing out of operation or away from man's realm. In other words, following the Holy Spirit allows us to press beyond it. Press through it to overcome it. You have the help of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome. Why did he send him? So you could overcome. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you couldn't overcome because you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it alone. You can't make it on your own. You can't overcome by yourself. You'll never overcome that thing. You never walk in freedom until you come to the point where you say, Lord, work in my life. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to work? And you start listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not a function that does not bring the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he changes us. He empowers us. He enthralls us with the beauty of God and the presence of the Lord. I want you to know something. You can make it because I can do all things. I want some shouts in this house. I want you to understand God didn't come to condemn the world. He came to empower it. I want a church that wants to serve God. I don't just want you coming being entertained and we put another show on and more lights and more screens and we did other things and the chairs shaking, rattle and roll. We got water sprinkling. I want you to come and have the presence of God fill your life. I need Jesus. I'm going to finish with this. Now the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall come to the faith and they give heed to seducing devils and doctrines of devils. Stop chasing what is not God. If it does not preach truth, it is not God. Many will come in that day. I'm preaching real good now because so many of y'all want to go watch so-and-so and do so-and-so. Y'all stood up under these ministers and they had all these. Listen, there's one ministry not right now. 40,000 people in their church. 40,000. World renowned. 19 churches worldwide. Huge. Mega churches. And while y'all were shouting and bragging and praising and saying how great they were, the man was having multiple affairs. He's now on his way to jail. And all y'all chased the numbers and the fan for all and the fascia. But when they don't preach truth, when they don't tell you about the Word of God, when they don't challenge you to greater things, when they don't challenge you to be better, when they don't challenge, listen, I want you to know something. I don't just preach this thing. I live this thing. It ain't no joke for me. I live it. I'm not messing around on my wife. I don't have 19 kids with 30 girls. Don't nobody come in my office showing their cleavage. Don't even come up at the altar. My wife will throw a cloth or something on you. She'll run you off. That's how serious. We're serious about it. And because of that seriousness, we're blessed from the top of our head to the souls of the blessings of the Lord make rich. Oh, my wife's gonna be so mad. Oh, I told her to put You know, said put it on hot for a pot roast and cook it for 6 hours. We're like 6 and a half now. Then in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created, and receiving with thanksgiving of them which believed and know the word, the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, and if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou art a brethren, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane, old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness is profitable to all things, having this promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. I mean, you can do all you want to in the world, but godliness is profitable to everything. For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things command and teach. Command and teach. I get tired of the internet and Z generation talking about, I just don't feel nothing in church and all they want to do is, let me tell you something. God told pastors to command it and to teach it. We're to command and to teach. We're not to ignore it. We're to tell the truth. I'm not talking about going out in the world and calling all the world sinners. I'm talking about to the church. The church needs to hear. The church needs to know the truth. The Holy Spirit works in us. He deals with us. He talks to us. And he tries. I'm losing my voice here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt and earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The light of the whole body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye is single, thy whole body will be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one or love the other. This is not talking about money. This is talking about money and everything else. What you sacrifice for one is a depletion of the other. I don't know if anybody got that. If I've had an affair, I can't teach nobody about living righteous. If my mouth is full of foul language, how do I speak God? If I give something up here, I gave something up here. If I let loose on something here, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. What's that trying to say? A lot of things. It's trying to tell us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Now I know that makes no sense, but it'll make sense if you understand what I'm trying to tell you. This is not about you, you know, he's living wrong, he's doing wrong things. I'm trying to say to you that Jesus is the way. And if you're a born again believer, there is a single soul purpose in you: to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the houses, the cars, the land, the trucks, all these things, he'll add them to you. You see, the Holy Ghost wants to add all that to your life. You don't have to chase the things. You have to chase God. You don't have to chase money. Many of you have built lifestyles around your finances and decided your finances had to be at this level. And because they have to be at this level, then I can't afford this and I can't afford that and I can't afford this. It's because you never relied on God to set the boundaries of your future, the boundaries of your relationship, the boundaries, and set God at the center core. Many of you will give a piece of who you are, but you won't give the rest. You won't tithe, you can't give. And yet the Holy Spirit's dealing with you to be a tither and a giver. How long will it be before you decide to honor God with your finances? How long will it be before you decide to honor God with your body? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And here's what I want to tell you. I don't care where you are. I don't care how much mess you've got in your life. I don't care how many. I don't care who's living in your house, who ain't living in your house, or what you've done. Just because you're there now doesn't mean you have to be there forever. I don't yell and scream at my wife anymore. I don't yell and scream at the staff. Or I do. If I do, I apologize. The healer lives in me. The God of righteousness lives in me. The God of holiness lives in me. The God of health lives in me. The God of all finance lives in me. The God that's more than enough lives in me. He's more than enough of all of my sin, more than enough of all of my faults, or more than enough of everybody that I messed with and messed around with and messed up with. He's more than enough than all of that. And while you're in this time, while you're in this moment, this is your moment to let the Holy Spirit speak to you about making things right. Lift your hands. Would you do it?